This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
So I'm going to try to help out the guys this morning when it comes to the dating scene, because a lot of times I know you girls, you'll see this guy, he's so attractive, and then you get to know him all of a sudden, you're like, oh, he's not as attractive as I thought. It could be his bad personality or whatever, but they ask, what's something that a good-looking guy seems to have that would make him not as attractive?
An ego.
Okay, ego, one of the number one things mentioned.
So
he's got an ego. Now, Tom, I know you talk about confidence a lot.
There's a difference.
Yeah, but I guess there's too much confidence makes it an ego, correct?
Possibly, yeah.
I think when you talk about how much confidence you got, that's your ego coming out. The people with confidence, they don't have to talk about their confidence. They're confident not to talk about it.
Right. The only reason I ever talk about it is to help other people.
It's your ego.
Because I'm a good person, and I like to help people know how to be confident.
All right. Something that can make a great-looking guy seem really awful and not as good-looking. They say disgusting sense of humor. Oh, there you go.
Define that exactly.
Go.
I was just going to say, you have questions.
What
were you going to say?
I was talking about the disgusting talks that y'all have had this morning. I finally had to call Tom out and say, we don't want to hear your stories about that.
That's true, but sometimes Tori can one-up him. And I'm surprised. Tori?
Don't want to hear hers.
Y'all were just jealous.
Yeah, you keep saying we, but Tori clearly doesn't mind.
No, because it's honestly interesting, because today he was saying...
Oh, my gosh.
Was it about the nuts?
Dude, no, it was a steak. I'm still stuck on that.
My
body is still stuck on it, too.
Let's just say Tom has some issues with his body, and it doesn't like him.
I have digestion problems.
Okay, but the fact that he can't eat a rare steak, but he can eat, like, medium...
Yeah.
Okay. It's kind of weird. Are you not medically interested in that?
No, not at all.
Oh, fine then.
I'm not even that medically interested. I just hate that I can't eat the steak the way I should.
You like it rare, though?
I would like it at least medium rare, but I have to get it medium or else my body revolts.
Okay.
All right.
Well, again, thank you.
So, I feel like that's a nice way to say it.
Yeah, well, that was nicer than how you said it earlier off the air.
Well, I mean, I didn't go into great detail.
So, I had to stop eating breakfast.
Tom's two for two right now.
No, I'm not. I don't have an ego.
But, you know, disgusting sense of humor might also be in other areas as well that's more creepy than what Tom talks about.
Like jokes.
Okay, yeah.
Well, he kind of teeters in that zone, too.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, bud.
Tori. So do you, though.
What?
Yeah.
What'd I say?
No, I guess not in that area.
Oh, okay. You had me concerned for a minute.
You are more disgusting sometimes than Tom.
True.
Yeah. Thank you.
Life is too short to go around constantly worrying about whether or not you might be a little bit too real.
All right, something that can make a great-looking guy not so great-looking is bad language was mentioned also.
I agree with that, and I am guilty. But I picked up cursing. I've told my kids, don't do it because it's so hard to quit once you start. And if you ever hear other people do it, they sound so common and cheap when they do it. But then when you do it, you don't think you sound that way, but you do.
Tom, three for three.
I do not have a big ego.
Okay. A bad reputation also makes a good-looking guy not so good-looking.
I don't even know what that means.
You mean a guy that has a big ego and tells dirty jokes and is disgusting?
Yeah.
And cusses a lot?
Just a bad reputation.
Yeah. I do not have a big ego. Okay.
This one surprised me. They said poor-fitting clothes. So he could be very attractive, but yet his clothes are not...
I do not have a big ego.
Yes. But your clothes, they fit fine.
I do not have a big ego.
I mean, socks with Crocs would make that list, right?
It sounds good, right? Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a Dr. Seuss book.
They did say poor personality. Maybe, you know, you go out with the good-looking and attractive guy, and he just sits there like a knot on a log and doesn't even help you through the conversation, and... That also knocks him down a couple of hot points.
Gotcha. See, yeah. I've always got something to talk about with my guts.
At the dinner table.
Yeah. No dull conversation with you.
As he's cutting into his rare steak, yeah. He's like, you won't believe what this is going to do to me.
Yeah.
We'll have to rush home after dinner.
And oh then they said bad manners.
Oh,
was
God,
mentioned.
Tom.
I don't have bad manners. I got exceptionally good manners.
You drank out of the sushi, soy sauce bottle at a sushi restaurant.
But
while
I was
we were
polite
lunch.
When the waitress came and asked me to stop.
You nailed this list, Tom. You nailed it.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
We've been talking a little bit about daylight savings time, which actually I said wrong. Oh. I believe it's just daylight saving time.
Yeah.
But that's a confrontational thing. But I wanted to talk about some of the other aspects of it because they actually asked people if they're looking forward to it ending. I was surprised that 28% of people are not looking forward to daylight saving time ending. I love when it ends because we get that extra hour of sleep. Now, I don't always take full advantage of it, but I love the idea of it, so I look forward to thinking I'm going to get an extra hour of sleep this weekend.
So that 1 hour that you get to sleep once a year is worth more than the sun shining at 9 p.m.
I don't really like the sun shining at 9 p.m.
But I like the option.
Well, okay.
I like the changing part because I can spend the summers out doing my thing, but then wintertime... I get in bed early.
Well, that's the point then. You're on my team.
So I like the changing. You like changing back and forth.
I like that we're going to go back this time, yes.
I've never understood why we can't find a happy medium. Why not agree on a time frame-ish and go with that?
Or just do a half hour.
What do you mean? What?
We'll just fall back a half hour.
Oh.
Have you decided what you're going to do with your extra hour this weekend? I'm going to donate mine to Daylight Savings Time Deprived Family.
Oh, yeah. That's really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like in the Central Time Zone or something? They don't do it?
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to donate
I'm going to use mine on Facebook Reels.
Okay.
Or Instagram. I haven't decided.
Uh-huh. I think I've already used mine up this year.
See? And then for you, it's going to be a relief to finally get some of that back.
Mm-hmm.
But they said that there are some people who aren't looking forward to this, even though they're gaining an hour. But 41% don't care either way, and that's a healthy way to look at it because then you don't waste a lot of stress and energy over something that doesn't really change much. Now, something that's always weird is how they say it causes accidents and things like that, especially in the spring when we lose the hour of
right,
sleep
yeah.
because you get off your clock and you mm-hmm. run them with less sleep, and so you make mistakes. But 41% of the people said the federal government should just decide on a plan and have everyone do the same thing, even if it means just sticking to the one time all year long.
But what time is that? Is that the daylight saving time that we have during the summer with longer days?
No, because the daylight saving time is the change.
I don't want to keep what we're about to experience mm-hmm. year
right.
round.
So I kind of think the system they use is actually good, but there's a lot of people who are against it.
Yeah, I'd rather it be daylight later.
I like being the fact that we have different choices. Like, we get half the year one way and half the year right. another. That way, you get some excitement in your life.
But what if you only like one half of the way?
Well, still, at least then you're happy half the year instead of what if they chose the other thing and you got stuck all year without what you liked.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
This is compromise.
Ugh.
I know, compromise is not always great. 35% of the people, or about one out of three, think that each state should choose what they want to do. Now, how whack would that be if North Carolina is one hour off from South Carolina and Georgia was another hour this way in Tennessee? That would be really insane.
Well, unless you're going to be late to work, you just pop across the North Carolina border and say, I'm still an hour away. I don't have to be there for another hour. So,
but if you went like to Charlotte shopping or to Atlanta shopping, to change the dynamics of the store times and stuff.
But that would be amazing, because then when your husband calls and he's like, you've been shopping for 5 hours, I'd be like, technically it was only four. Because we're an hour behind here.
That would solve a lot of things there. So I guess there's some things you can do with your extra hour. Maybe, I don't know if you've got anything planned this year.
No.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, I'm doing the Instagram or the Facebook Reels.
And I'm donating mine to a deprived family that doesn't have daylight savings time.
You're so generous.
You're welcome.
They say that you might spend the time valuably by deleting any evidence that links you to P. Diddy.
Already did that.
Good. That's very
good. Check.
Also, they said maybe brewing up another batch of your world-famous pumpkin spice meth.
What in the world? What, honestly, Tom?
I don't know where these came from.
I was so excited for a minute there. I was like, pumpkin spice? Whoa, okay,
well,
never mind.
You know, everything else has pumpkin spice.
I hate it.
You hate pumpkin spice or meth?
Both. Never tried either one, to be honest with you.
I don't know which one's worse.
I don't know which one. And one of them may be good.
Yeah.
Well, I know if you don't have plans yet, you're running out of time, so you might spend the hour trying to come up with a way to spend the hour.
Oh, that's confusing.
Oh, yeah, that's just going to waste time.
Well, what?
It's going to waste your time.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, this whole conversation just ate some of your time already. I apologize.
This is part of that hour. We're going to
have to make up for it.
Take some of this back.
Yeah.
This November 3rd, the clock strikes 2 a.m. and keeps going backwards. What will you do with your extra 60 minutes? Sleep? Or face the terrifying truth you're still late for work? Daylight saving time. Fall back. Coming to clocks near you.
Don't forget.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Did you dress your pet up for Halloween last night?
No.
Yeah, a lot of people do, though. I want to talk about the pet parents this morning, because this is very interesting. 61% of cat and dog owners think their pet is smarter than the average person.
And wow.
80% said their pet is at least as smart as, I guess, some of the people they're hanging out with.
Well, either they're hanging out with real idiots or they got an ego problem, because I know my dogs ain't smarter than people.
Yeah.
I mean, they're smart for dogs, maybe, but they're not smarter than people.
Well, they also found that 1 in 4 have actually referred to their pet as their kid or child.
Yeah, my baby.
Parents. Yeah,
my boo.
We don't actually call them that, but like I will tell my dog, I'm like, hey, my son will come home and I'll say, hey, your brother's here.
Yeah.
So I guess it's kind of the same.
I do that too.
Or I'll say, mommy's home.
Yeah.
Whenever my wife gets in.
1 in 3 have called themselves their pet's mom or dad.
Yeah.
It's kind of, You know, it's funny. My dogs probably think I'm some kind of like psychic, because I get a notification on my phone when my wife pulls in the neighborhood. So I'll be like, hey, mommy's here. And then a couple seconds later, the garage door will start to open. And they know that means she's here. So they jump up and they're like, how did you know that?
But you just said they're not smart. So how does he think that you're psychic? Would he even know what psychic meant? So they're not that smart.
You're psycho.
Yeah.
I know.
Psychotic.
And my dog knew it.
You can make a living like Pet Psychic Network. It's like, I can tell you what your dog's thinking. He wants to go outside right now.
Yeah.
He's scratching at the door.
Oh, my God. Our dog discovered the dog doorbell. Our new dog.
Yeah.
He found out if he puts his nose on the dog doorbell that it rings. So now he does it just because he thinks he can get a treat every time.
Uh-huh.
And he rings the doorbell more than they did last night at Halloween.
Well, 81% of the pet parents said they treat their pets the same way they would treat an actual child. 57% say they buy gifts for them for the holidays. Also, 40% dress them up in clothes sometimes. And when I saw that, I continued to read, and
Well, that's good.
It reminded me of Tom because they're dressing them up in costumes, sweaters, jackets. 23% of people who've actually dressed up their pet have put them in formal wear and had them in their wedding.
Okay. I did not do that. I did not do that. Okay. My wife did that.
It was your wedding.
Yes. But she's the one who bought the tuxedo and put it on him. Uh-huh. I'm against dressing dogs in clothes. Unless they clearly don't mind, I think it's mean.
I saw a Halloween costume of a three-legged dog, and he was dressed up as IHOP.
Oh.
It was so cute. Oh,
see, now, is cool. It, though, or is that really, like, politically incorrect?
He seemed happy.
Okay. Well, I will say one costume I think is so funny on the dogs is when they look like a spider.
Yes, the spider.
And they run around, and people are scared of them, and they just keep running happily towards them.
Or Chucky, the Chucky doll.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one?
Is it where he's riding on him or something?
No, he's like Chucky's legs, and when he runs, the knife just bounces in the air.
And how about taking a sick day off with your pet? There are some cities trying to pass an amendment where you could use a sick day to help your sick pet, because now you can only do it with someone of your family, and it would be a sick day for your pet.
I mean, really? Yeah. How would they stop you? If you say you're taking a sick day and you're like, I need a sick day.
Well, you can do that. That's lying, though, but you'd have to put your dog on the phone and let them talk to the boss.
Well, you don't want to take a day without pay because the vet bill is going to be expensive.
Right. No, but I'm saying you just say you're sick.
Yeah, I agree.
In a separate study, they just found that treating our pets like kids might not be that crazy at all. So there's three types of pet parents. There's a high expectations and hands-on pet parent, high expectations but hands-off pet parent, and then hands-off and low expectations pet parent. They didn't look at the best way for, the parents to parent a cat. That was not in the research. It's dogs only.
Because you can't.
But for dogs, having high expectations and being hands-on seems to be the best. Dogs in that group were more social, less scared, and better at solving puzzles. In other words, they were smarter and more well-rounded than the pets the dogs that did not get as much treatment.
I have no idea what those three categories mean.
Oh, okay.
What does high expectations hand-on mean?
Well, you're training your dog to do stuff, and you're kind of like a helicopter parent, probably. The high expectations, but hands-off, like you're still taking good care of the dog. Yeah, but you're not like teaching him new tricks or trying to engage with the pet.
You just expect him to know how to do things.
Wow.
Even though you've never taught him.
That's pretty wild.
This is your home. Don't potty in it.
And then hands off is, and low expectations, like that's the pet owners that get the pet and don't really engage with the
pet
at all. Don't pet.
It's so puts it on a chain in the backyard.
Well, yes. I don't know if you're going to that extreme. But
I hate that.
There's some people that don't, they have the dog. It's in the house. They just don't really, like when it comes home or you go home, you don't pet the dog as much.
Right.
So being high expectations but hands-on parent is the best way to be a pet parent. And I have, it's time for a quarter after laughter with Tom Papa talking about pet parenting.
My wife is becoming one of those weird pet people. Like anytime someone would tell a story about their kid doing something like scoring a goal in soccer, my wife would chime in, "Oh, that's like Gracie when she bats the ball down the hallway." Shut up. Pet people are very aggressive now. Have you noticed that? Pet people, very, very mean. If you don't like pets, they think you're like a Nazi or something. You don't like pets? You're so mean. How can you not like pets? You're so mean. Really, I'm mean. I'm not the one keeping a wild animal hostage in my apartment. No, but he loves me. Really. Open the door. See how much he loves you as he's hightailing it to Pennsylvania.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, before we move on to Thanksgiving and the turkey and dress and all that stuff, I've got some creepy careers I want to talk about. I did some research on creepiest careers. They're spooky, downright scary. There are some of them disgusting, and I can tell you how much they make per year. I know the one you think about is mortician. You take your aunt or your uncle or whoever has passed away to the funeral home, and then they prepare the body to be seen by the public.
Yeah, and you get that really odd dude who's like wearing the suit, and you can tell he's just probably not a good social person.
Don't be judgmental.
Don't forget cold hands. But I mean, don't they just pretty much embalm and get them prepared, whereas like a coroner or medical examiner are having to do autopsies?
Yeah, but those guys are usually pretty cool.
Yeah.
The coroner's like,
I met one before, but.
Because I think I'm pretty sure I met one of the coroners. He was.
Park Evans is the only one I ever knew.
That's who I met. Yeah. I met him at a celebrity softball thing.
It might have been. I don't know.
He was a good guy. I didn't think he was weird, but like more the guys who work at the funeral homes, they're weird.
I know people that do work in the funeral homes.
Tom's kidding. You funeral home people, we got to have these folks.
Well, I didn't say that we didn't need to have them.
It better be nice. One day you're going to have to use one.
Care.
How well do you want to look in that casket?
Man, I don't care.
So, entry-level mortician makes about $30,000. They say national average is around $56,000. If you have been in the career for quite some time, $80,000 for a mortician.
Wow. That's not going to overcome the stigma.
Yeah.
$30,000 ain't going to overcome any stigma.
Okay, so creepiest careers out there, and some of these are just eerie, very eerie. This is one that's interesting, bomb technician. So whenever there's a bomb threat, these brave professionals, they go on the front lines to investigate if it's actually a bomb or a hoax. And then they have to deactivate the device at that point.
Is technician the politically correct word? Because wouldn't it be like a bomb tester?
Yeah.
Wow. You're just basically testing it out to see if you need to contact people.
They couldn't get anyone to take that job.
They make about $62,000 a year, only need a high school diploma. Yes. That's what blew me away.
That tells you they're a bomb tester then.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want someone who's got a 4-year degree in disarming bombs.
Because is that what they do, disarm them? Or do they check them out and go get someone to disarm them?
No, that's a good question.
They do both.
That's how I would want that job.
That's not enough money for that.
No, it's not.
I could see me hungover. Which is the blue or the red wire?
Creepy careers, crime scene cleaners.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Hey, I just called Zero Res.
No, you won't. They won't clean that.
I've seen videos of those, though, that job.
Yes.
It is insane, some of the stuff that they see.
Yes, I can't believe they even make videos of it.
When their bodies are left there for a while.
Bone fragments, blood, anything that's contaminated.
Not just blood, congealed blood.
If it's on the furniture, carpeting, bedding, anything. If you have a weak stomach, you cannot do this. It's just gruesome sight. And smell, they say.
Okay, got it.
I've heard that you actually have to pay for that. That it's required that you have that team come out, but you have to foot the bill, and it's thousands of dollars. That's what I've heard. I mean, I ain't seen any crime scenes.
Is that why people Google how to clean up blood?
Probably. No, that's not why.
So they make $41,000 a year.
Not enough.
Yeah, and a high school diploma is all you need for that.
Well, that makes sense. You're just doing heavy cleaning, but it's gross.
I mean, I don't even like cleaning my own house.
All right, entomologist. I think I said that right. Did it, Tom?
Yeah, I think so.
They spend their days working around creepy crawlies, bugs, insects, spiders, all that stuff. And they actually perform, because they educate us on how much we need these critters to pollinate the flowers, protect the crops and stuff like that. But and also why bugs and stuff spread disease. They make about $62,000 a year, and they need a bachelor's degree.
I'm really surprised that an entomologist makes that much money. Yeah. I mean, what are they actually doing?
I don't know, but if they'll come and pick up a spider for me in my house, I'll be big. I'll tip them.
I'd pay more for the dead body removal.
All right. These are creepy careers. What's this, Tom?
epidemiologist, just a disease technician.
Yeah, like when we get cooties floating around, they go in there and try to figure out why and who they're getting and all that stuff, like when we were locked down for a couple
years.
It's
the CDC people.
Yeah.
Oh, they're the ones that releases it too, right?
Right, also.
Oh,
yeah.
That make the mistake overseas?
They release it.
And it's not a mistake. It's just like the fireman who likes to have a fire to put out, so he goes and lights it first.
They make $70,000 a year.
Wow.
It's a lot to tell us to wear a mask.
Forensic psychologist. Now, these are they're responsible for getting those deep, dark secrets into the mind of the psychotic killer. And they will talk to the criminal and they will analyze them, kind of like Clarice did with Silence of the Lamb.
Well, she was an FBI agent, though.
Okay.
I think she was a psychologist for the FBI or something, wasn't she?
Yeah, I have no idea. That was fake, by the way.
Silence of the Lambs?
I mean,
wasn't it based on a real story?
Maybe loosely.
All right. Creepy careers. Herpetologist.
You didn't tell us what a forensic psychologist makes.
Forensic psychologist makes $77,000 a year.
Wow. That's a lot.
Herpetologist.
Herpetologist.
Yeah, herpetologist.
That's a snake person.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mean herb.
No.
I thought he meant someone who checked out cold sores.
Okay. So that's basically what Tom said, to do the creepy crawly snakes and figure out all that stuff and why we need creepy crawly snakes all around the house.
And what do they make?
Sorry.
Hold on. You got a book.
I mean, isn't that what this is about?
Yeah,
you tell us what they make.
$62,000 a year. Bachelor's degree is what you need for that.
Whatever. I know people who just have snakes in cages at their house.
Phlebotomist.
That's blood drawing.
Yes. Okay. They make about $33,000 a year, but you got to deal and work around blood all the time.
Well, those are the people who stab you when you're donating blood, and now we know why they don't hit the vein the first time.
And then they tell you, oh, no, that's your veins. You have roller veins.
All right, guys.
No.
Last two, police diver. A lot of people like to dive into the water and see all the beautiful fish and stuff, but police divers are looking for dead bodies.
No.
Yeah. In that murky lake water.
I don't even want to. I was invited to go scuba diving, free lessons, and I'm like, no, thank you, because we were going to have to train at Hartwell Lake and Lake Kiwi and all that. I'm like, no, I don't want to be at the bottom of a lake.
I always wonder about the places that have alligators and these people go in the water. I'd be like, they'll turn up. Not going in that water.
Finally, steeplejack is a job.
They clean the steeples on churches.
Well, it's kind of like they work really high up on all the scaffolding, high ladders, platforms. If you are like scared of heights, you don't need this job. And they'll like change the lights to the cell phone towers. You know, you see that light flashing, and all of a sudden it goes out, and you're like, oh, man. I mean, I got to go change. Let's just leave that out for a couple months like I do at home.
Warn the airport.
Yeah.
There is a tower over here.
They just had a family die because they were in a helicopter and the light was out on the tower.
No way.
They hit the tower. It was terrible.
But they replaced roof glass and all kinds of stuff like that. It's called a steeplejack, and they make about $33,000 a year.
Not enough.
None of these people make enough for what they do. This is insane.
Well, hey. I felt like the entomologists were doing pretty good for talking about insects. But the rest of them seem like they're underpaid.
You got to include spiders in that. There's no dollar amount that would make me do that.
Technically speaking, spider's not an insect.
It's
an arachnoid. So,
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app, and wherever you get your podcasts.